Mayday, mayday, mayday! All systems overload, ego check now!
You're in the mix with Bart Cop Radio.
Robbing people, carjacking, home invasion. Everyone taught that life is so cheap, there's nothing to look forward to except what you can score and smoke in high. Ending welfare as we know it means third world crime as we know it. So why is it all these young people today misbehave? Misbehave. Misbehave.
Welcome back. Let's get back to our top story now. The claim by an active CIA official writing anonymously that the United States and the West are losing the war against Al-Qaeda. Steve Call doesn't write anonymously. His latest book is entitled Ghost Wars. It's also about the CIA and the war on terror. Steve Call's day job is the managing editor of the Washington Post. He's joining us now live from there. Steve, I know you have spoken to this CIA official. What's your sense of these accusations, these allegations, which are quite startling, that he's making?
Well, I wrote about him in the book, as you say, and he has been an analyst of Al-Qaeda for many years. He was focused on bin Laden and the threat that bin Laden posed to the United States between 1996 and 1999, and he warned his colleagues and the government repeatedly that Al-Qaeda was capable of carrying out massive attacks against the United States. So he's certainly a credible professional in the terrorism area, and particularly expert on bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. His argument in the book, I haven't read every word of it, I've skimmed it, is eclectic. It covers a lot of different concerns. One of them is that we've got bad allies in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. Another is that we're making more enemies by fighting the wrong wars the wrong way. At the same time, he sometimes strikes an even more militant tone than hawkish Bush administration officials when he argues for total war against Islamist terrorists, even if that means high body counts.
Hey, this is the official that you refer to only as Mike in your book, is that right?
That's correct.
And we don't know if that's his real first name or that's a fictitious name either, is that right?
You know, Wolf never ceases to amaze me with his total stupidity. Hey, Wolf Monkey, what does it matter what the guy's name is? The book is written by anonymous. Do you think if you ask, oh, is this guy's real name Mike? Like the guy's going to say, yeah, his real name is Mike. His last name is Wilson. It's Mike Wilson. You're such a dork, Wolf. What the F does it matter? Assuming we can verify that he is a high-level CIA guy, what does it matter which one it was? What an idiot, Wolf. How did you get your job?
My impression is that's an accurate first name, but I couldn't vouch for it.
I know that oftentimes the CIA just simply calls officials. They don't want to identify Mike.
Well, you monkey, why did you ask the damn question in the first place then? Is there some producer standing off camera giving you the stretch sign? Is that why you're making no sense, eating up my valuable time, you monkey?
But we could just move on from there. Let me read a passage from the book, and we'll put it up on the screen. He says this: I write this book then with a pressing certainty that Al-Qaeda will attack the continental United States again, that its next strike will be more damaging than that of 11 September 2001, and could include use of weapons of mass destruction. Based on your experience, how much credibility do you believe this guy has?
Well, I think on that point, he's quite credible. This is a guy who studied bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and the threat they pose for many years. And in an important sense, his view that you just cited is not terribly controversial. Bin Laden himself has said openly that this is his ambition. Mike goes further and makes the point that he expects this to actually unfold, and not everybody is as certain as he is that that's going to occur anytime soon. But it's obviously a serious possibility.
So the CIA thinks a massive attack is coming. It's going to be more spectacular than 9/11. So what does Bush do? He invades Iraq. He sends all those soldiers and all that equipment over to Iraq. Meanwhile, bin Laden's working on a dirty bomb for New York City. Way to go, Bush. Your personal greed is endangering the life of the whole country. Can't people understand that? Bush is so greedy for oil that he wants to invade Iraq, steal that oil, and he doesn't care about Saddam. Remember he said, Saddam doesn't concern me? Well, he concerns the hell out of the CIA. They think he's coming with a bigger attack than the last time. But the monkey's too distracted. I wish Wolf the Whore could tell us what most surprised him, because Wolf is such an intelligent man, and he's so on top of things. Boy, if we could only get Wolf's personal opinion about this piece, that would mean a whole lot to me.
I think the most surprising thing for me was that here is a sitting CIA official, a high-ranking official working in the federal government, who takes on the White House, who takes on the centerpiece of the White House policy, namely the war against Saddam Hussein, and says this U.S. invasion of Iraq is Osama bin Laden's gift from America, saying that this has totally set back the war against terror.
Well, what looks pretty obvious to me is that the CIA told Bush, don't go into Iraq, there's no need to go into Iraq, we have Saddam contained, why don't we concentrate on bin Laden instead? And Bush and Rumi and Wolfie and Cheney and all those hawks, who had never seen a war except on TV, they said, no, we have to do this, we have to do this. And then when they went and screwed everything up, then they had the gall to say, well, it was faulty intelligence, we got to hold hearings to see what's wrong with the CIA. This is the CIA getting even. They told Bush, don't do it. Bush said, F you, I'm doing it anyway. And when it blew up, Bush said, this is all the CIA's fault. And they're saying, nah, here's the truth. Looks to me like the CIA agrees with John Kerry that America could use a little regime change, too.
One thing is sure, this book is going to cause a lot of stir. Steve Call, whose own book, Ghost Wars, one of the best written on this subject, joining us from the Washington Post. Thanks, Steve, very much.
Thank you, Wolf.
With the sovereignty handover just a week from now, Iraq looks to the future. Is martial law on the horizon after the June 30th handover?
That was taped Wednesday, and then Thursday was one of the bloodiest days in this whole mess. As of 6:30 Central Time Thursday, there was over 100 people murdered yesterday. As this countdown to June 30th, which is such a fake, what an idiotic thing to do, Bush. You don't ever say that. That's like saying, on the 15th hand, I'm going all in. Well, gee, why don't you wait and see what your cards are, you idiot? But no, Bush decided long time ago, Bush is going to serve that frozen turkey on June 30th no matter what. He doesn't care if it's harder than Chinese arithmetic. He's going to do it no matter what. That's the sign of an idiot. When you say, I'm going to do this, I don't care what the consequences are, I don't care what the circumstances are, I'm still going to do it. Now you got your moron on your hands, and he's in control of the planet. I'm scared. Are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for the George W. Bush Iraqi update. This will be good. The George W. Bush Iraqi update. Watch closely. It's the George W. Bush Iraqi update. Here we go.
Police and Civil Defense Corps have recently captured several terrorists, including Umar Bozziani.
Umar Bozziani. Wasn't he the mayor of New York City?
I used to be, yeah, they named the airport.
Rudolph Bozziani.
It has been nearly 8 years since Newt Gingrich and his band of fascist elves stormed Capitol Hill, promising to toss out the old to make room for something even older, greed and fear. Then, right around the time Clinton and Newt were duking it out over the budget, the American public began to realize that some of the Congressional Class of 94's ideas were about as humane as running the Iditarod with a team of Taco Bell chihuahuas pulling the sled. We listened to this Republican Congress shrieking for 2 years about campaign finance reforms, only to see them fizzle like charcoal briquettes at a fraternity beer bash. Well, how did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. First, we had the demise of Mr. Newt Gingrich. Former Speaker Gingrich sums up the Republicans' problems in a nutcase. Their most extreme members are more out of step with the rest of America than Joe Cocker in a line dance. Remember, this is the party of Strom Thurmond and Jesse Helms.
And Dennis Miller.
So as Newt Gingrich, Trent Lott, and Dick Armey dig their tassel-loafered heels into the muck and strain with all their might to move the weight of public opinion in their favor, old Bill Clinton's got his end tied up to the hitch of a Mardi Gras float, and he's sitting in a lazy boy with a corn dog waving to the people while Miss Newt America rubs blueberry hot lube into his fleshy shoulders. And that's because the one thing that Clinton has going for him is, in fact, compassion. And you're about as likely to find a Republican who's connected to the needs of women, minorities, and the poor as you are a naked chick silhouetted on a mud flap in the parking lot of a Melissa Etheridge concert. You know, God has no place in politics. Quite frankly, if God saw the way some Republicans invoked his name, he'd turn atheist. But you've got to feel sorry for the Republicans. They're constantly painting fake tunnels on the side of cliff walls, only to see President Clinton somehow beep beep right through them. The Republicans had no idea of who they were going up against when they took on Clinton. The Republicans need to stop taking themselves so seriously. Pull the American flagpole out of their ass and lighten the fuck up.
I'd like to have President Clinton on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he was on one other time.
I remember that.
I want to tell you something. I've met this guy two or three times, and then the first time, he couldn't have cared less about meeting me, which, by the way, is the correct response. And then this time, do you remember when he was on? He's one of those guys that won't stop talking, and he's like a genius.
Well, he is, yeah.
And most of my friends won't stop talking, and they're idiots.
Right.
This guy won't stop talking, and he's just like everything he says, you just...
Right, yeah.
Huh? So we're trying to get him on the show.
Great.
Wouldn't that be great to have him?
Have him on again, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm a cartoon. I'm a cartoon. Ma! Ma! People are drawing me. Ma! Oh, my God.
They got your breast and everything.
The great Bruce Urgel made me a cartoon. Go to BartCop.com, and you'll see it. That's got to be like Betty or Veronica's body, because nobody has a body like that except for Betty or Veronica. Oh, that's hysterical. Thank you, Bruce Urgel. That's amazing. I'm a cartoon. And not a New Yorker one. Not a fancy pants elitist one. Yeah. Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. Oh, I'm a cartoon. I made it. Oh, that's awesome. I'm a political cartoon. Oh, I can't believe it. What?
Slapping Bush.
I'm slapping Bush in the cartoon. Go BartCop.com. The internet people just did it because they were sitting in front of the computer.
Right.
What do you think of that? It's like a comic book called My Secret. And then, what am I saying? Wait a minute.
You're saying, how dare you? Everything I've heard about you is true. I'm leaving this instant.
Why, you little.
Poor girl. She won't have a job this time tomorrow.
In the background.
Who's that, Betty Bowers?
Probably Ann Coulter.
There's a lot about Ann Coulter on the internet, about how strange she is, and that the Republican Party doesn't even want to have to deal with her anymore. She's a weird little girl. David in California.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm a cartoon.
You're a cartoon.
I'm so excited.
Oh, well.
BartCop.com.
John Stewart recently had as a guest Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she did the Garfield movie with Bill Murray. And John felt the need to get a shot in. Not sure if it was intentional or maybe his mouth just got ahead of his brain, but here's what happened.
I don't know what made them decide to do it, but I was happy to be a part of it. And
was it good?
Yeah, it was. It was fun. And I think Garfield is kind of, I don't know, he's like
Bill Murray's he's the voice, Bill
and
Murray.
And we got Bill Murray. How cool is that?
Bill Murray must be some kind of crazy whore for money right now. That's all I
know. I don't mean that about, I'm just saying that he is just... Here's what I'm saying.
Does that make me a crazy whore
no.
for money, too?
Let me tell you something.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
No.
Okay.
You are not.
Yeah.
But him, something. I'm not saying, I don't know him, but here's what I think happened.
Okay.
Here's what I think happened.
Yeah.
He was sitting back one day drinking, and he's just like, Papa needs a new suit. And then was he on the set?
No, he wasn't. This has been lovely, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's been great.
I'm the worst host in history.
You're a peach.
But I'm excited. Garfield the movie, it's in theaters everywhere.
You're so excited.
On Friday.
You're so excited.
That
back at 10. This a moment ago. Tiger's third. You can bet this will be long.
X on the.
I was going to say, he's running.
X on the Tiger. Ugh.
He's man, getting a run of that right back down again. Man.
Oh, isn't it awful?
I can't believe he tried to bump and run. That face of that hill is so steep.
The ball rolled down the hill about 800 feet.
I think he did it just because he thought it was a cool shot.
You know, for years, if I would do a joke on Wednesday, and some national figure would do semi the same joke later that week, like on Saturday Night Live Weekend Update. And then there was Chris Rock with the nigger troll joke that he wrote, or that he did about 6 months after I had it on the page. I would claim, oh, they stole that from me. You never know. Odds are they didn't. But what if? When you're young and unknown, you have to pretend, you know? Jeopardy's been on 30 years, 40 years. When I was a kid, they had Jeopardy with... Who was that guy? Art Fleming? Is that his name? Or is he the penicillin guy? But Jeopardy's been around forever. They've been doing spoofs about it forever. Saturday Night Live does spoofs about it. Jay Leno does spoofs about it. Until recently, I hadn't heard anyone do the wrong answer to the question Jeopardy spoof, and that's what we did. Seems like it was show 38. And I'm wondering if there wasn't somebody who knows somebody who writes for Dave that might have heard the old Bar Cop radio and thought, hey, that's a funny bit. And with our superior equipment, our superior editing, et cetera, we can probably do a better no Bart, but it just seems a little bit suspicious. To my knowledge, nobody's ever done the Switch the Answer parody of Jeopardy, but we did it a few shows back, and then look at what Dave's doing. He's doing it constantly now. He's doing it like every night. Listen.
You know what's going on over there on Jeopardy? I don't normally watch Jeopardy because it's a game show, and I don't care about game shows. And Alex Trebek pointed out last night, a couple of months ago, was California. He was arrested for driving while he was asleep.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, but that... I mean, he wasn't intoxicated. He wasn't under the influence of anything. He was just sound asleep. He was doing like 60 the San Diego freeway.
Uh-huh.
And they caught him south of San Onofre. Anyway, they pulled him over and woke him up.
Yes.
And then sent him on his way. But anyway, they got a guy on Jeopardy who's won like 11 or 12 days in a row, and that's unheard of. I mean, normally two or three and you're out because you've got to be really smart. So I said, Dave, you know, you better watch this and see what's going on. So I watched Jeopardy last night. Something ain't right.
What do you mean?
Something ain't right.
Why?
Well, they're playing some kind of screwball here.
Why do you say?
Trying to run some screwball by us.
Really?
Something's hinky. Take a look.
To cut oneself slightly while shaving. Ken.
What is Ellis Island?
Ellis Island, yes.
That's the guy. That's the guy. He wins everything.
I know.
And I thought, well, maybe my ears are playing tricks on me, so I watched, and a little later this happened.
What?
Well, watch.
On Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Guitarists list, this Beatle was number 21. Ken.
Who's Cliff Robertson?
Yes.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it. Bart Cop Radio show number 44. Glad you're able to hear it. Appreciate you subscribers. You're keeping me on the air, keeping the page going. All praise to Tommy Mac, who makes the bad sound good. The Air America radio spot is going to be out in mere days. We'll give you lots of notice on that. So thanks for listening. I'll get to work on show 45.